and clap it up, bitch, and clap it, yeah. It's shorty, you can get it, baby, if you want it bad enough, you a good girl with your best.
Welcome to Unsigned Hype episode 27. On this episode, I have the pleasure to talk to the incredible artist MMW from Florida. Prior to her interview, I asked MMW which song he would play for someone that wasn't familiar with his music yet. MMW chose the song Lighthouse together with fellow artist Chigusa. And if you're not familiar with MMW's music yet, here's a snippet of that song before we jump into the interview.
I've been chilling in my lighthouse, looking for a woman for the moment we could vibe out. Catch a couple waves, chase the sun, and we could lie down. Move her out the city, now she with me all the time now. The sandcastle, a new wave, home record. Watch out for sharks, the mermaids too pretty. The siren song, my mood changed, baby girl. Remember trust, don't sue away.
This is Unsigned Hype. The song you just heard is called Lighthouse by Chigusa and MMW. MMW is joining me from Atlanta today. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the show. MMW, why is Lighthouse the song that you would play for someone that has never heard your music before?
Well, appreciate you having me on, man. So this is just a dope opportunity. And I picked Lighthouse just because, like, it's summertime right now. And that feels like the most, like, summertime, like, top down, you're at the beach with your homies type vibe. Like, I really think it's very fitting for this season. And also just, like, when we made that song, it was kind of like a lightning in the bottle moment, right? So we got some homies. I'm from South Florida, right? So I have a lot of, like, upcoming artist homies from Miami. And we got an Airbnb in Orlando and decided to just make music for a couple of days. And my roommate Chigusa, he was in one room just like messing around playing a beat, right? And I was gonna go into another room and like work on a different song. And then I heard the beat like as I was walking by and I was like, nah. And like I stopped in my place and had to go in there and like lay something down. And it was a very like spontaneous like moment. And I think it's kind of just like a more lighthearted like take on a lot of my usual music, right? I kind of get into like the complexities of relationships and like the ups and downs of that, but this one's more like just a bit more lighthearted, a bit more fun. So yeah, that's why I really like this one. This song's special to me.
How do you like creating? Like, is it important for you to be with a group of people at the studio to really, you know, get, you know, creative energy off of other people, or how do you usually do that? What's usually the setting that you like to create music in?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that song was really special to me because it was like a collaborative song. And I usually make everything like very isolated, you know, like when I started making music, I was originally just a producer, right? I didn't see myself like being the rapper. I was very shy growing up. So I really just wanted to be behind the scenes making beats and stuff. And so that's what I was doing a lot. Like in my teen years, I would just be in my room making beats and shit, trying not to be too loud because my parents would be knocking on the door and shit. Yeah. And so, and I think back then I was very like an angsty teen, kind of felt rejected by the world in some sense. So like music was where I was just like, this is my safe space to just really go in. Like if I felt like pushed off from the world in any way, I would go into the studio and just like make music. I usually like being alone when I make music, honestly. That's really like my safe space to really just feel free to play and express myself.
How do you, you know, you mentioned that you were a shy person and you didn't really want to be a rapper initially. How does that happen that there's this day where you take a step into the booth and you rap? How did that happen?
Honestly, I'll just be like super transparent. Like I was making hella beats for myself and I wanted to be like a producer. And in high school, I would kind of just like hear all the other like rappers in the school and shit. And I wanted to just sell beats to kids in my school and like whoever I could get in contact with, honestly. But like, it felt like none of them were that good at rapping. Like I was very precious with my production. You know what I mean? I'm like, I need a fire like rapper if I'm going to make some like fire beats, you know? And so I just started writing myself. Honestly, I was like, if no one else is going to do it, I'm going to do it myself. And so I started writing and really just like built up my pen and just my confidence to the point where I'm like, all right, I'll hop on the mic. I'll be the person on stage. I'll be the forefront, you know, face of this thing. And it really just helped me like get out of my shell. It was very like, I don't know. This whole music journey has been like a very, very much like a character development thing for me, you know?
Mm. But how do you know that you're ready for this? Like, especially with the background that you didn't initially want to do it, like what gives you that feeling of wanting to put that first song out that you rap on?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I think it just comes down to the feeling. Like, I think a lot of us as artists, we start out by just, we have great music taste. You know what I mean? A lot of us just like get a visceral feeling from music and want to just recreate that feeling for others. At least speaking for myself, right? I get a certain feeling when I hear certain songs and certain vibes and ways certain people flow over beats in production certain ways. And so it's really just trying to recreate that feeling. And I feel like I trust my judgment and like my taste enough to the point where I was like, okay, I know my pen wasn't, when I was first doing my first raps, like, okay, my pen might not be crazy right now, but I know like, oh, I'm going to get to a point where, once I got to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to show this to the world. I know it was ready. I showed it to some of my homies. You feel me? Like my inner circle of people who I trust their taste to, and kind of just like went from there, honestly.
But your pen not being crazy, how is, I don't know if, you know, it might be difficult to talk about this, but if you could try to self like assess what it was, like, do you remember any like particular example of you thinking like, nah, that's not it yet? And then eventually like you being like, okay, this is good enough for me to go out with this?
I will say like, I think like the very first like rap song I've ever written in my life, like the very first song I ever like wrote down, I grew up in the church, right? And so I had my homies like in the church, and I don't know, we found some YouTube type beat or something, and I'm like on the computer like in the back somewhere, and where I'm like an eighth grader in middle school at this point, right? Like, this is me just like messing around trying to make like a funny song. And so we made as an eighth grader, you kind of make fun of the sixth graders, the freshmen or whatever, the little kids coming in. Mm. So we made a song called Sixth Grade Swag. And like, and it was like about, it was like sixth grade swag. These kids coming through in their roller bag. Like, I don't know, just making some funny shit like that.
Yeah.
And like, it was corny, but it was just fun. You know, it wasn't anything I took seriously. I really wish I could give you like an exact moment of when I was like, oh, this is good enough to drop. But it was really just like, I think the very first song I've ever done, right? Like that ever like had my rapping on something that was out into the world was like a feature from my homie, Kevin Solstice. It's on SoundCloud. It's called Splendid. I hope it's still up. I haven't heard that shit in years, but, yeah, he had like this like lo-fi hip hop beat, you know, and that's when I had just discovered like Jay Dilla and all of them. So I was really like in that vibe. And yeah, he had an open verse for me, and I just did my best, honestly. Like I'm very much like a writer. Like, I think a lot of rappers, some of them, their skill set is like freestyling and shit. Like, I know Young Thug don't write his shit. He just goes in and punches in and like freestyles. But I'm like, I like to take my time and sit down and edit and like write a compelling narrative or whatever my truth is and write it in a compelling way for people to listen to, right?
Do you feel like people appreciate that? I mean, obviously they do. You have a great following and stuff like that. But is there a worry sometimes that all this hard work of you really trying to tell this elaborate story might not be reciprocated by your listeners?
Definitely, definitely. Like, I kind of knew going into this, I would have like an alternative, I guess, approach, quote unquote, lyrical, more lyrical approach to hip hop than like a lot of people in my generation coming up, you know? And so I was very much aware of that. But I realized, you know, the people who are going to stay are going to stay, honestly. And I think when I was first putting out music and writing and stuff and getting in my groove and finding like my artistic voice, I think like, oh, I looked up to dudes like Earl Sweatshirt, like Tyler, the Creator, Childish Gambino, Chance the Rapper, like very great lyricists, you know? And so I was kind of like, sometimes I was trying too hard to be like lyrical, you know what I mean? And it would sacrifice like my truth, you know? And so it's really just finding that balance. Cause like I said, there's no, like, I can't say Earl is better than Young Thug. You know what I mean? It's just a feeling, you know what I mean? And so it's really just finding the balance between like what feels true to me and then what just like feels good to like release, you know,
yeah,
the expression part of it.
And that first track, Splendid, is that still for fun like it was in high school? I mean, you were still in high school, I guess, when you recorded it, right? I mean, was that, how much fun was that versus you thinking, this could be my job in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I really had like, I was super wide-eyed back then, you know? It was definitely like mid-blog era, I would say, like 2013, 2014, like blog era vibe. So like, I was heavy on like Pigeons and Planes and like Complex Music and shit like that. And so you just see like random dudes pop out and like blow it seemingly right overnight, blow up and get all these like placements and shit like that. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to make my music and like, it's going to be good and people are going to pick up on it. And then I'm going to be out of here. I don't even got to go to college after this. Cause like, yeah, you just have those like really big aspirations from seeing people do so well, you know? And, that's just like not the reality sometimes, you know? And I think back then it was fun, but it was definitely like in hopes of like, oh, this is definitely going to work very soon. You know what I mean? And I think back then, my early stages, I think it was in some sense, like more fun just because I was experimenting more. I was just trying different shit just because I could. And still trying to find my voice and what I liked, right? So like, I think at certain points it was more fun. You know, but I feel like I've grown into my own quite a bit over the years, you know, so the fun hasn't lost itself. But like now I'm being more strategic and like the music quality in my opinion, the music quality was always there. It was just like the marketing wasn't there. Right. That's the thing that takes like talent just isn't enough. I think that's like the biggest thing I've learned to where I've gotten right now as an independent artist. Right. Talent's not enough. Like you have to be like a marketer, you have to be like a strategist and fucking, you have to be, as an independent artist, you have to be damn near everything for yourself, you know? And so right now, especially in like the past 2 years, I've been taking more of a strategic approach to like how I put myself out there, my branding and being consistent at the end of the day, you know?
Tell me a bit more about that. What are some, I mean, you've been making music for 7 years now, approximately. Could you pinpoint some of the key learnings now that we're talking about your marketing approach and you've really switching things up, especially in the last 2 years? What are things that you've done like really at the start of your career that maybe you wouldn't do anymore today? And what are things that you really believe in terms of marketing strategies for up and coming artists?
That's a really good question. And I think, it differs a bit because I feel like the game is different ever since TikTok, like in COVID, the game is completely different. Like back then I was really like, all right, I'm going to make it out through like getting blog posts and shit like that. People finding my YouTube videos and shit. I think one thing that carries throughout all the years though is just like having confidence in myself to put myself out there and advocate for myself in the different rooms that I'm in. You know what I mean? Like no one's, if you don't hype yourself up, if you don't fuck with yourself, if you don't like be your biggest hype man in whatever room that you're in, then like no one's gonna vouch for you, you know? So that's one thing, is just like leaning into my own confidence. I think now I'm learning to not be so, I think like I'm still in the process of learning this, but like caring about the vanity metrics of streaming numbers and like IG reel views and TikTok views and shit like that. I think now I put more of a focus on being consistent and putting things out. You know what I mean? And I think the right people and the right resources will come to me if I just do my part. You know what I mean?
So is that something that's, is that a stress factor for you, is to kind of look at the numbers and then not really seeing them take off? But also, what do you compare these numbers with? Like, how do you feel like you should be at a different stage at this point after 7 years? Or is that something that you think about?
Oh yeah, of course, man. It's like, cause it's not even just me, right? Like, I think I'm the shit, right? I think I'm like, I think as artists, like we all have like our inflated egos to some extent, but I really think I'm the shit, like a lot better than a lot of people getting more attention than me, you know? When you see this TikTok generation right now, that's really the move for independent artists. And like, it seems like people just literally seemingly blow up overnight, you know? They get one viral hit and then it allows them to like get to a place to like do what they should be doing in terms of like making music their career. You know what I mean? And so it can be frustrating sometimes when you put a lot of time and energy into these different content pieces, into these songs, repeatedly putting yourself out there, and you're just at the whim of like these apps and algorithms that like seem to just pick and choose whatever the fuck they want, whoever the fuck they want. And so it's really finding that balance, because it's also like, oh, I want to figure out, it seems like there's a science to like the whole content game too. So like,
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just trying to figure out, oh, if this video did more numbers than this, and like, oh, what about this made it do that? You know what I mean? And like, it's kind of impossible to not look at the numbers in a sense if you're trying to improve, you know what I mean? But it's like, that shit can hit your ego if you're constantly putting shit out there and feeling like it's not going anywhere after a while.
You were mentioning this thing about your confidence, which made me think about, you know, you have a song on your Junebug EP called Feels, and on that song you say something along the lines of like, only thing I've ever been good at is making music, and you know, you were saying that with such clarity, and your music is really dope, you know, it's no question about that. But how do you get this kind of confidence a year after really starting your music career? Like, what gives you that feeling of being good? Like, do you compare your music with the music of your favorites and you realize, oh, like I'm on par with these people? Or is it the people around you that tell you, wow, you're really dope? Is that something that you trust in? Like, how do you gauge how good you are yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a big combination of all of those things. I mean, ultimately, I think I have like a really high standard for what good rap music is. So like, it starts with me, right? And then like, I'll put the music out and ask my homies and shit, and they just like told me I'm really good at this, you know? And like, I trust their opinions. Obviously, you know, friends can say what they want, but I also just feel like, oh, I've been to shows. Like when I first was starting out, right, I would do local shows and shit and realize like I was consistently, from my perspective, the best one there, all of those shows and shit. But to that point, man, it's like having that like superiority complex is such like a bad place to be in, because I found myself feeling like I need to be the best in everywhere, not even just music, right? In different facets of my life, I feel like I need to be the best. I've somewhat created an identity around that, and I'm trying to like not have, because inevitably life is going to tell you like you're not the hot shit, you know what I mean? Like life is going to tell you that, and your ego could take a huge hit from that. I felt it already, you know. I'm in my early 20s. I've been out of my parents' house for like 2+ years now, you feel me? So it's like life is just showing me the world really doesn't give a shit about you. You just gotta like focus on yourself and do what you can and be better at what you can. Only control what you can, right? And shit like that. But yeah, I mean, I think I still think I'm the shit, you know what I mean? But it's like, oh, talent's just not enough. Like, that's just what it is. You have to like be consistent, be in different rooms, get to know certain people, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the tale of a love story that never was.
Yeah, yeah, yo. Lucky lady, lucky man, we ain't too damn lucky, cause our fate is out of hands. Break down four leaf clovers, cause I'm over being sober. No, I wanna take a chance. Shake dice, I'ma have you blow them in advance. This is now or never, cause I suck at being friends. Grass be always greener when I peek over the fence. You beating on my heart, gotta get it off my chest. Yes, We can smoke and go to Wendy's, cause you know a nigga broke. I get the usual, I got that 4-4-4. You took it as a sign, you said, oh. The universal line, this ain't no joke.
This was MMW's song, Dumb Luck, 4-4-4, and now back to the interview. The consistency was interesting to me because, I mean, as we mentioned, you start around 2017, putting first songs out. You drop your first EP in 2018. And then you kind of keep going from there. When since you started your career until the end of 2020, you were really trying so many things out, like really experimenting with different things. You know, you released Shawty, I think, in 2019, which was the first song where you started really taking a melodic, more singing approach. You've experimented on a bit of a different production than what you usually would do. You followed this up with Malibu. With regards to that, you taking this approach of singing more, is that you just wanting to try something different out for the audience? Or is it kind of random? They just like, I'm just going to try to sing and see how people react to it? Or would you have done it no matter what, just because you felt like doing it? If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good question. I actually very much appreciate you like digging into my music and like giving a fuck to like ask these very like thoughtful questions. Like, I appreciate you. You're doing good work, man.
Thank you.
This really means a lot.
Appreciate it.
But yeah, man, with Shawty and Malibu, that was like, I was in college during that time. I think like, and I was, those are both produced by me, right? I think a lot of my earlier stuff, I was rapping on my own production. And that's like a testament to like how I make music, right? It's like, I don't know what the fuck is going to come out most of the time when I like sit down to make a beat. You know what I mean? I might have an idea, but it always ends up being something else. I just kind of follow whatever catches. I just kind of follow that thing until something forms itself. And I think with those songs in particular, I just really was like, with Shawty in particular, I was just really infatuated with that beat. Like, it was just, I don't know how to explain it, but it was just, that it just warranted me to like sing on it, honestly. I think I just, whenever I do write, right, I usually have to have a beat first and then go from there. And so I think that's just kind of what came out of me. And then with Malibu, that was a really fun one, because I think I was like back home for a bit from college. And
that's such a good song, by the way.
Thank you. That was like really me trying to do some like Caribbean, like pop shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That one was really fun, dude. Yeah. I just wanted it. I made the beat and I really just loved it. I still don't have another like beat like that, to be honest with you. And it just warranted me to sing on it. Like, it just felt like that was the thing to do.
Shawty and Malibu were songs that you put out, you know, in 2019, 2020, and then, you know, and then I don't know if I should call this a hiatus, but for a year and a half, you don't drop any music.
Yeah.
And then you come back with Daydreams. Why this decision to leave for a year and a half and then kind of restart again with Daydreams in a year and a half later?
I'm curious. What do you know what the song I dropped right before Daydreams was? Like the one right before that hiatus?
I think it was definitely a feature track.
Let me look it up real quick. Because then that'll help me pinpoint like where I was in life at that point. I want to give you a good answer.
I remember it was in December of 2020, right before 2020 ended. But I don't remember which song it was.
Daydream. Oh, it was Gimme. Okay. So it was Gimme and then Daydreams. Dude, that was like 2020. Yeah. I mean, like COVID hit, man. And the world felt like it was ending. Like, I don't know. I was still making music during that time, but I was just smoking a lot of weed, like at my girlfriend's crib, like in my college town, bro. Yeah. Like, not just kind of fucking off. And also, like, it felt like the world was ending. So, like, I was during that whole period of time, I was really just like digging into like anti-capitalist theory, like trying to unlearn this shit. Cause it felt like it was like a pivotal moment in history. You had to like know something. So I was just really like reading a lot of Black authors and getting into my socialist bag and shit. During that era. And I think I wanted the next time for me to come out with some music to just be on some shit where, I don't know, I think right before Daydreams came out, I knew I had that song in the vault for a while, right? I had that song in the vault for maybe like a year, possibly two, but like at least a year. And I knew it was great, right? Got my homie Blue on it. And I knew I wanted this point forward in my music career to be like, all right, this is when shit went up a level. You know what I mean? In terms of like music quality, in terms of rollouts, videos, content creation, all of that shit. I fucking dyed my hair blonde. Like, if you look at that cover art, like, I was really on some like, all right, this is a new era. You know what I mean? Like, super inspired by Kanye and Tyler at that time. That's why I did the blonde hair thing. I just felt like it's needed to be a shift in my career, honestly. And so from there forward, I really just, I think from Daydreams forward is when I really like took this shit super seriously, you know?
Yeah, what made the difference? Because I also feel that way. I also feel listening to your discography, I hear that there was a switch between that last song you released in 2020 and then Daydreams coming out a year and a half later. But in hindsight, what do you think made the difference? Like, why was that the moment where you really started getting traction and you, like you mentioned earlier, you got a level higher in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I was out of college at that point. And I think like the weight of that, it feels like it's, you have to, getting out of college and like music not taking off the way I wanted it to, because I was focused on school and all this other shit, right? I felt like my entire music career, even now to some extent, right? But I've always had to like divert my attention from music to like my other things in life, which is primarily school, you know what I mean? And so getting out of college, I felt like, all right, it's time to like really take this shit. Like, I felt like I needed to take like agency over my life. You know what I mean? Post college, yeah. You know, cause it's
college,
literally no
one
else is going to do it for you.
Sorry. Go ahead. Sometimes a bit delayed. I don't mean to cut you off, but,
no, you're good.
No, I was wondering, is college a bit of a plan B? Is that, you know, because you sometimes have creatives and artists who say, no, I'm dropping out of school. I'm doing this. Like, what was your reasoning to keeping that in your life? Meaning honestly, less studio time and less time to make music, obviously, right?
Yeah. Very true. But also, like, my parents, like, I'm a first generation kid. Like, my parents are Jamaican and British, but like immigrant parents, you're going to college. They both went to college. You feel me? So it really wasn't even like a choice. It didn't feel like. Also, there's a thing to like wanting financial stability to be able to just fund my music shit, you know? And so I think that's like an invaluable experience, like going through college. I'm not even using my degree, but like, fuck it. You know what I mean? I still got like a decent job to like pay for everything I need to do for my music. And I think also during college, like that was probably the biggest like character development stage in my life. Like it allowed me to like join different organizations and shit. And like, pretty much all my cover art I make myself, right? Like I have graphic design skills that like I cultivated through like going to college and like doing like being in orgs, like different organizations and making the flyers for them and shit like that. Like that's how I got my like graphic design chops and shit. And so, yeah, I think it was just like a great experience for me to just grow as a person. Honestly, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. You know what I mean?
You know, but with regards to you know, the release strategy, you're out of college and Daydreams comes out. Could you talk a little bit more about your new approach and also maybe your release strategy? Because there's some artists I talk to who, you know, everyone has a different opinion on this. Like some people say they drop 5 songs a year. Some people drop 5 albums every month. Some people, you know, it's so different. What is it for you? How do you try to find the right balance when it comes to releasing music for the people?
Yeah, that's a good question. I talk to a lot of my artist homies about this like all the time. Right now, I think for any independent artist, like consistency is key, right? So you could say like 5 songs a year. If you could do that consistently, then that's the perfect plan for you, right? For me, this year I've taken the strategy of dropping 1 song a month. And I think since like March, I've been doing that. So I've been just doing singles, honestly, and just dropping hella content. Like I kind of have like a system right now where I work with a videographer, right? And so I'll get a song. Now, previously, I used to like record the song, produce it, fucking mix and master it all myself. But I realized I gotta outsource certain tasks so that I could be more efficient. Yeah. You feel me?
Yeah.
And so even things like that, right? It's just thinking about how I could be more efficient to be more consistent. So what I do now is like I'm working with this producer, Esco. He's going crazy right now. And then a few more other producers, Andres Ian, my homie Chigusa. If you heard Lighthouse earlier, that's by Chigusa. Yeah. And so I'll get a song. I'll write to it, record it, send it to be mixed and mastered for somebody else. And then I'll sit with my videographer and come up with like content ideas. And then we'll shoot it all in 1 weekend, like hella content ideas in like 1 weekend, get it all edited to post throughout so it could be like consistently dropped throughout the month. And then while the videos are dropping and shit, I have my next song lined up for the next month. You feel me? So it's just kind of like a well-oiled machine. And just like working with the people who are, first of all, just good people, but also like people who do great work at the same time. You feel me? And like I could work with them each month so that we could kind of just make sure this is kind of like a system that runs itself, you know?
Do you see a lot of, so do you see uplifts from this? Can you compare like the new strategy and your new workflow, let's say, that you have to previous times? Like, do you see like things are working better for you? Are the songs getting more streams? Are the videos getting more views? Is something happening there?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think ever since I started posting consistently on TikTok and IG, like focusing on short form content, really, like my streams have actually got like, before Daydreams, none of my songs really hit over like 1,000 streams on Spotify. You know what I mean? Like seeing that less than 1,000 streams on Spotify be hurting niggas' feelings, man. Like you gotta understand, like as an independent artist, like but like breaking through that 1,000 streams is feels like an accomplishment. And I'm lucky now to where like I think some of my songs got like tens of thousands of streams and shit, which is really mm-hmm. nice.
This is obviously something that you've been getting better at. I mean, you found a new way of working, of, you know, the release strategy for social media. What do you think currently is something that you're really trying to improve more and more? Is there something currently that you have in mind that you're working on that you want to learn?
That's a good question. I mean, I think I'm pretty good at content, but I'd like to be better at it. Like, I think with nowadays on TikTok and shit, like people like the more authentic content, right? Just people like fucking around iPhone camera, you know what I mean? Like, I'm good at making cool concepts and like making videos around that, you know, but like, I would like to just get better at like literally just showing my personality more, like as opposed to just like, here's the music and a cool concept around the music. It's like, I want to be able to just be my, like show my personality and my authentic self, like on TikTok more. And I think that's just something I got to practice more. I think maybe just outside of marketing, just like getting my business together, like my music business, and like generating some income so that like this is not just me shelling out money to like put out songs each month, but it's actually okay, I'm getting a return and I could like run ads with the money and it kind of like feeds itself. Like I think my biggest thing right now is like turning my music into more of a business, you know? And like, because I'm at an age now where it's like I'm like in my mid-20s, like I need to like figure out how to make this make money, you know what I mean, for me. Of course I love this music, but I want to make this career, so like I need to treat it like that, you know?
Hey, can y'all turn the music down at all? Is there a reason why it's so loud?
Is there a reason why you don't close the door?
Wait, make my neighbors mad. These the type of 808s make my neighbors mad. The waste make my neighbors mad. I don't give a fuck, I paid the rent. Came in on the first. If you racing, boy, you chasing last. I sit back and I sip my tea. I am not sure. Why is it war when I say my piece? Sharpen my sword, my pen, I bleed. All that I know is c'est la vie. Chasing my dreams like Ben, I keep. If we not bros, ain't showing up to the front door. Oh no, you better not be. Type of hey, the waste make my neighbors mad. Oh. These the type of 808s make my neighbors mad. 808s make my neighbors mad. I don't give a fuck, I paid the rent. Came in on the first. If you racing, boy, you chasing last. Fuck all the noise. They want me to use my inside voice. Better calm down before they go call the boys. I'ma crash out till I hear the Lord's voice. Give me 5'9"s like I linked up with Royce. Break fast soon as I pop the oinks. I got lots of points. But first things first, I'ma talk my shit like I ain't got a choice. 808s make my neighbors mad.
This was MMW's song, 808s and Noise Complaints. And now back to the interview.
What's the next step for that? Like, because I totally understand and I can hear it just from you talking that, you know, you're taking this obviously very seriously. You've built it so far and you want to keep building up up on it. What would be the business stage? Like, when would this be a business? At what point? Obviously by making money, but can you talk a little bit about the aspirations that you have? Where do you want to take this?
Yeah, I mean, I think like my North Star, I look towards dudes like LaRussell, which are you familiar with LaRussell? Yeah. And he's just like the pinnacle of like an independent artist that like he has like a true community, you know, like outside of like fucking making money and like the fans and the numbers and shit. Like he has people who actually like him as a person, and like he does like the offer based, his whole thing is offer based business, right? And so somebody could pay $1 for his album or his shirt, or they could pay $1,000, you know what I mean? And oftentimes he'll get like $100, $1,000 because people fuck with him. And like he actually like can, like, I don't know, he throws shows like at his crib, and like it feels like he's truly embraced by his community and like his supporters and shit like that. Like I would love to see like my music and like my brand extend and be like a tangible physical thing, you know what I mean? Do more shows and really just connect with people like on a deeper level than just like on the TikTok screen, you know what I mean? And I don't think that's entirely business, right? I think I diverted a bit from your question, but I really want to like build a community of people who like, you know, fuck with me, you know?
Yeah. And these are future successes that you're talking about. These are things that you want to succeed at in the future. What is currently, you know, we were just talking about also your streaming numbers, for example. What are current successes for you? What are moments where you're like happy and proud of yourself, where you're like, oh wow, like I've done this, you know?
Yeah, man, it's a good question. I mean, I think it's easy for me to give like the vanity metrics answer in terms of just certain numbers and benchmarks and shit, but I think that's like an easy way to chasing numbers just doesn't serve the spirit well, is what I've noticed. But it's literally things of like when I do shows, right? Or like when I drop a song, I drop Ghost, right? And this dude like sent me a whole message about like how he went through a breakup recently, and like he related to like everything I was saying, and like I articulated it. Like for me as an artist, right, I just try to like articulate my experience or whatever narrative I'm trying to get in a way that people can connect with. And so anytime somebody like feels like they like received it and like the way I intended is like the best shit in the world to me, right? I'll do a show and like I'll perform one of the songs that I produced, right? I have this song called Romeo Song. And after I performed and did my set, like a girl came up to me. She was like, yo, that song like reminds me of a Catronata beat, right? And to me, that meant the world because Catronata is my favorite producer ever. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's exactly what I was kind of going for with that song. So it's like, I don't know. When people like receive the music in the way that I kind of intended, that makes me feel like, oh, I did my job as the artist, right? I translated this feeling, this emotion, you know what I mean? I'm connecting with people. That's like the best shit to me, honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, Romeo's song is actually also one of my favorites of yours. It's self-produced as well, right? You mentioned, I think you produce it yourself. Yeah,
it's
tight. Yeah, it's a great song.
Thank you.
And by the way, is Ghost the song where you have this line about war and peace? Every time it's war, when I say my peace, I don't remember the line very well. Is that off Ghost?
No, that's on 808s and Noise Complaints. So that's the
808s and Noise Complaints. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like my last song. That was the one right after Ghost.
Can you remind me of the exact line again?
I'll say the whole shit. Like, I sit back and I sip my tea. I am not sure. Why is it war when I say my peace? Sharpen my sword, my pen, I bleed. Yeah, man.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. I really could really resonate with that line for sure.
No, thank you. Thank you. That song really just came from frustration, you know? Like just feeling like, I mean, there's two aspects to it. There's like literally I was getting noise complaints from making music in this building, you know what I mean? From other neighbors and shit. And it
and like notes on your door.
Yes, bro. Yes, literally. And so like that was like a really big inspiration for that. But there's like the surface level of like somebody telling you to turn the music down and you're like, fuck, bro. But it's also just like this is like my safe space of self-expression. And it feels like someone's like interrupting like a sacred experience. And that's incredibly frustrating for me. And I think that like goes across other things, right? Like as a black man, like I feel like at the same time, like it can be frustrating just like your existence feeling like your existence is like somewhat of a nuisance to other people. You know what I mean? your mode of expression, your existence, just your way of being. And especially if you're confident in that, people have a problem with it. And that's like incredibly like saddening and frustrating. I think a lot of those feelings of just feeling suppressed in life is what came out in the lyrics for that song, you know?
Yeah, man. What a great vessel music and hip hop is for that, you know, to kind of, you know, talk about it and release it on a song and have so many people resonate with it. It's incredible. Really.
Thank you, man.
What's next for you? What's in terms of, you know, anything? What's next in terms of projects? What's the next thing that you want to achieve? What's the next milestone you want to get to? Yeah,
it's a good question, man. I mean, like I said, I've been really focused on like consistency right now. So I really want to like my thing for this year is dropping a song every month, right? That shit's not easy. Like, I have certain songs. Oh, shit could get very personal right now. I don't even want to do that. But I have certain songs where it's like my relationship with certain individuals is contingent on whether or not I want to drop that shit. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so, like, I don't know if I want to do that, but it's really good music, you know, at the same time. It's like the personal life and the music has been a conflict this year. I think I wrote one of the most, like, heartfelt songs, I think, like, early last year, over a beat by my homie Andres Ian. And it's about, like, a very close family member of mine and how we grew up together and kind of separated. And we're kind of... He feels like he's a bit different now. You know what I mean? Like that relationship we once had just isn't the same. And just speaking very vulnerably about that. But it's one of those things like I felt like I either needed his permission or it was just too personal to put out and shit like that. Like I've written songs about women who I'm like currently in a, like have been in the relationship while I'm with them, but also speaking about my ex in the same song, and like that'll start an argument or like a riff, and then it's like a whole conversation that needs to be had and shit like that. It gets very real, but I think that's like really the only art that's really worth making, you know what I mean? Like I think art that kind of feels dangerous and kind of feels vulnerable and like just is truthful, like that's the best shit to me. Like I love Earl. I love Navy Blue. I love Mike because, like, you know, they're saying some real shit.
Incredible.
You know?
Yeah.
I've been really inspired by those dudes to just bring some of more of my truth and, like, more explicitly of my truth to the music. You know what I mean? But it's still a line you got to walk between the personal life and the music.
Absolutely. So people can definitely expect more music coming. I mean, one song a month, as you mentioned. I mean, that's obviously a lot of work in itself and, you know, keeping the social media thing going. So is that what you're going to be focusing on for the next year, let's say? It's just consistency and building your brand, basically, right?
Yeah. Working with Chigusa a lot. That's my roommate. Like I said, we just dropped Lighthouse. We have a lot of music in the vault. And it's crazy how hard it can be to work with people that you live with. You would think it would be easy as fuck, but everybody got their own lives. But we're working on something. There's something there. And then my homie Esco, we have a lot of tracks together. And so there's a possibility for that project to come out this year, too. I don't want to say anything because I feel like anytime I say a project's coming out and then something fucking happens, you know what I mean? But yeah, I want to start getting out merch and shit, too. Start doing more live shows here in Atlanta. Like, really just feel like connect with the people here in Atlanta. So you can look forward to that.
As a last question, you've talked about this a little bit already, but what do you do this all for?
Ooh, man. Yeah, there's a lot to that question. I think there's two sides to it. One that I like about myself and one that I don't, you know, but I'll just be very honest. Like, I think there's a part of me when I initially started making music, it's because I did feel rejected by the world. I felt very lonely. And so that chip on my shoulder fueled a lot of my passion to make something so fire that would make the world love me, right? At least like from my perception, right? If I make something so good, I'll be undeniable that people will love me and I'll never feel alone again. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like a trap in itself. You know, it's people like the music. It doesn't necessarily translate to you. Right. And I think there's part I'm self-aware about that about myself. Right. Like, I find my reaction to feeling rejected by anything or anyone to like work harder at my shit to show them, you know what I mean? Like, and that ego, I think Tyler the Creator, Childish Gambino spoke on that a lot. Like, his ego is what pushed him to make Redbone, you know what I mean? Like, one of the greatest songs of his career, you know what I mean? And so I'm still learning to use that in a healthy way. So there's that piece of it, right? And then there's also just like, for me, like I said, like, music is a safe space for me, right? I know that feeling of like feeling like shit and just going and putting on my headphones and feeling like a sense of escape or like catharsis through the music that I'm listening to, right? Like, if I'm feeling like shit, I'm feeling sad and I listen to this sad song, it allows me to like get through that shit, you know what I mean? Even feel it more, you know? And so I want to make music that just gives people a visceral feeling. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I just want to make something meaningful to other people. You know what I mean? Because music means the most to me. So there's like a selfless act of it. There's a validation side of it. And then there's like a selfless, I just want people to feel good from what I make. You know what I mean? And I think those are like two of the driving forces for me, if I'm being just very honest.
MMW, thank you so much for this incredible conversation. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, man. You do great work. Honestly, it was probably my favorite interview to date. Like, you, it seems like you give a fuck. And so thank you for this platform and just doing this for people, you know?
I fell in love with a bitch. With this lifestyle, I have no reason. Really thrown love in the mix. She cried, she understood. Her tears is water under the bridge. Next day we up, she say that she not really fucking with this. Like, we ain't got time. Like, what's your purpose? You just something to miss.
And then we can have like a skit right here.
This was Unsigned Hype episode 27 with MMW. The track you're hearing right now is MMW's song, Ghost. Make sure to support MMW by checking out his music and following him on social media. And for your weekly Unsigned Hype, make sure to also support us by subscribing to this podcast and following us on all social media platforms. All the links are on the show notes below.
Talk is cheap is my philosophy. I be like, less is more. We get the smoke, we gassing up like it was Texaco. Quarantine, I'm sick of playing house like we the next to go. I'ma stand on business, you can sit on my face. The summer's almost over, I was steady counting the days. Cause when the next semester start, we gon' be parting our ways. A long time is money, I was making minimum wage, for real. Depressed, I pray my love will wipe her pain away. Vitamin D, open the blinds and take the shade away. Yo, how we used to fuck so much that I be needing Gatorade. The moment I get used to this, my feelings start to fade away. I'm sorry, girl, I'm so conceited, writing hooks about you. Told me, boy, you need to read up all about love. I don't ever see us having peace and love without drugs. That shroom trip made us one, no, I could never doubt love. I feel like I could read your mind like I got superpowers. If I could travel back in time, I would've got you flowers. And told you that I love you sooner. I was just a coward with a sweet tooth. Cavities, I turned your sweet to sour. I miss your touch now that this relationship is sunk. I've been in the basement cooking up, writing about the same shit in my thoughts, cause I don't ever say shit. This is us, strangers in the club with a distant love, dancing in the dark, double fisting cups. Guess you found another new dick to suck. This sucks.